Hi, I'm Marie.
And I'm Emily.
And we're registered dietitians who love to look at the research when it comes to all things diets and supplements.
With years of working with professional and collegiate athletes, we've seen it all, and we're here to set the record straight.
On this podcast, we break down popular diets and supplements to let you know what's legit
and what's BS.
Versus BS podcast. Today we have a kind of gross topic. So if you're weirded out by the ideas of like stuff in your guts or parasites, just be forewarned. But this was a listener submission and something that both Emily and I had seen a lot of, just stupid stuff on TikTok and people out there with some pretty wild ideas. So today we are talking about gut parasites, and we're kind of going to be talking about two opposing ideas about gut parasites. On one hand, we've got the tapeworm diet, which was one of the original diets out there. Basically, the idea that if you consume a tapeworm, it will eat all of your food, and it is a weight loss method. And then on the other hand, we've got sort of a newer emerging trend, which is people out there claiming that we all have parasites in our guts, and we need to strip our guts of these parasites. And that's where all these like detoxes and cleanses and all that kind of stuff come into hand with that. So sort of opposing ideas, but we're going to cover both of them today. And then we have a BSPS today on magnesium supplementation. So should be a good one. Before we get into everything, as always, if you like our podcast, please be sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. And please be sure to send us any topic suggestions. We have a shit at the grocery store, a main topic, and a BSPS that were all listener submissions today. So we do take those into consideration. We love hearing from you guys. You can reach out to us on our Instagram at @Ardies_VS_BS_pod or our contact page on our website, which is ardiesversusbs.com. And if you are interested in getting healthier this year without having to detox your body out of non-existent parasites that live there or eating a parasite to eat all of your food for you, reach out to us. We are both currently accepting one-on-one clients, and you can learn more by contacting us, again, either on our Instagram or at ardiesversusbs.com. And we will start with shit at the grocery store that, Emily, I will let you take over because I know that someone submitted these to you.
Yes, this is called VitaCup Slim Blend Skinny Coffee. So it's basically, it looks just like those liquid IV or drip drop, like electrolyte little pouches that you add, but it's instant coffee, which I'll just be honest, not my favorite thing to start with. I don't know if anyone like has tried instant coffee before, but just doesn't hit like the real thing. But this one is basically saying like mix this instant coffee with other ingredients in some water, drink it every day. And just like that, you're going to start losing weight. So sounds too good to be true. First ingredient, instant coffee powder, not surprising. But the things that they add to it that are supposedly going to help you be skinny is Garcinia Cambogia, which I'm sure has come up in this podcast before. They say it's going to give you a metabolism boost. Other slim boosting ingredients, what they call it, is prebiotic inulin and B vitamins. So these three things, Garcinia Cambogia, prebiotic inulin, and B vitamins, are supposed to all come together and help you lose weight by literally just drinking this coffee and making no other changes. So I mean, I'm just going to talk about the B vitamins and inulin right off the bat. Like those, they're obviously not, I mean, maybe not obviously because they're saying they'll do this, but they're not going to help you lose weight. That's those two. But what they really are getting at with the ingredients, I think, is that adding the Garcinia Cambogia is going to boost your metabolism and help you lose weight. So I did a mini dive into this ingredient. It's basically because this fruit is really cheap to produce and people don't do as many deep dives as Marie and I like to do in this, in the science with all of these things. So people have maybe just heard like, oh yeah, there have been studies done that show that it is good for weight loss. Well, it was in the 70s, it was on animals, and it hasn't been reproduced in 50 years. So long story short, no, this is not going to help you lose weight. It's just kind of a gimmicky thing. It's not going to be as easy as just drinking a cup of coffee with some extra ingredients in it. Unfortunately, that's probably not surprising for any of our listeners. There's no magic pill, but that's the story on the skinny coffee. Thank you to our listener for sending this to us.
I just want to add to the Garcinia Cambogia hype.
Oh, yeah.
This was something that Dr. Oz peddled for a while.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think it might have been part of why he got in trouble. I don't know if it was, I know for sure it was the green coffee tea or the green coffee extract. And then I think Garcinia Cambogia was part of that as well. Because for a while he was like, it's a miracle pill.
Nice.
But yeah, so it got super popular again in like the mid 2000s because of that.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds about right. So that's where we've heard about this before. I knew it sounded familiar.
All right. So gut parasites. I'm interested, Emily, what your preconceptions or what you had heard about gut parasites when it comes to weight management before looking into all this.
Well, it's funny because I know this was a listener submission that you got, Marie, and you brought up like, hey, we should do our next episode on gut parasites. And I had no idea what was out there. So again, love a good listener submission because you guys let us know what is it that you are actually seeing right now. My mind immediately went to the tapeworm diet. Like I just assumed that, oh, gut parasites, there's the tapeworm diet and there's going to be other diets like that to help people lose weight. What I didn't know was that there's all sorts of stuff out there now about gut parasite cleanses, basically making people think that even if you don't have symptoms, you probably have gut parasites. And because of that, you need to do this cleanse to kill them off and detox and have a healthy gut. So it's really interesting how there's these two different, you know, it goes under the umbrella of gut parasites, but one, the tapeworm diet is all about losing weight and adding parasites to you. And then the gut parasite cleanse is all about getting rid of parasites that may or may not exist. So
yeah,
that was my thought. What was your immediate thought when you read the listener submission?
So my immediate was the opposite one because it might be because I sort of live in that MLM world of seeing all the crazy stuff that people are peddling. And this is a big thing in wellness MLMs right now is sort of this whole idea of needing to cleanse your body from parasites. And I don't know, I'm sure my algorithm is screwed up to continuously show me stuff like this on social media too, but I feel like I keep seeing all this bullshit on social media about how we're all infected with these parasites.
Oh, no.
And we're like holding on to 20 pounds of poop because of them and like all kinds of stuff and how you need to like rid your body. And we kind of talked about this a little bit before we recorded, but I'm hearing all these things about people who are doing stuff in an attempt to quote unquote cleanse their bodies of parasites and then they'll poop out their intestinal lining.
Oh my God.
And it's like a long string of lining and then they'll think it's a worm. So they think that they're doing it correctly. And it's actually really, really, really bad for their gut because they're literally stripping the lining off their gut. So that is what my preconceived notion of this is and sort of what I've seen on social media.
I am somehow just immune to the things you get on social media, like V-Shred. A ton of people reached out to me. They're like, how have you never gotten anything on V-Shred before? And now the gut parasite cleanses, but I'm sure I will now. And I'm glad you gave us that little disclaimer in the beginning because honestly, I'm not super like great with weird intestinal like worm stuff. Really grosses me out, but
ooh,
it's okay.
This is not a good episode for me to have let you do the bulk of
it. It's good. It's funny. Like reading about it was fine, but now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, this is this is gonna be fun. No, it's all good. There's a lot of interesting stuff. And that's why we are such a good pair, because together, the two places our minds went to, we brought it together to bring you this episode. Yeah. So what even are parasites? Like if we look into the actual definition, parasites are organisms that live in or on a host body and use it for food as well as an incubator for its offspring. With that definition, like there are a lot of beneficial parasites. I'm not going to get that deep into it, but things that live on our skin and are like, it's a symbiotic thing. Like we help them, they help us, whatever. But just the thought of these parasites being inside our body, using us for food, as well as it having offspring is pretty gross. And I get how this could be a thing that, especially for like gut parasite cleanses, you tell anyone that, hey, it's possible there's something living inside of you, eating your food and having its offspring in your gut. Gross. So it gets people's attention. But like we've said a few times, we're going to take this in two different directions. First thing we're going to talk about is the tapeworm diet, which haven't mentioned it yet, probably should mention this now. It is very illegal in the United States to actually do this diet. We'll talk more details later, but we never promote any diet, but this one especially is illegal. You basically take a pill that has a tapeworm egg or whatever in it, and then we'll get into more details later, but that's the first thing we're going to talk about. The second thing is Marie's side of it, which is the gut parasite cleanses. This probably goes without saying. The claims for the tapeworm diet is that you'll lose weight. The claims for the gut parasite cleanses is that it will detoxify you and improve gut health, which is just like two big buzzwords that people these days are loving. But yeah, let's just jump right in with the tapeworm diet. So like I said earlier, the way that this diet works is that people in the past, and I'm sure currently, but not legally, would intentionally ingest tapeworm eggs or larvae in the form of a pill and hope that it would attach in their intestines and start growing. It's like we said, a parasite, it lives off of you, it eats your food, and it grows. So tapeworms are big enough that the idea was, okay, this thing is going to eat all of the calories that I am eating so that I don't ingest any of them, therefore losing weight. So it's like a win-win. I get to eat all the food I want and I get to lose weight, which let's just pause here and talk. I mean, this is obviously insane, but you don't want to get any calories. Like if we're really thinking about this, and this is what happened to people like way back when is they would just shrivel away. Like this is not a good thing. It's just, I don't know, a little bit of logic goes a long way. A fun fact about tapeworms. So this surprised me. I want everyone who's listening to think, how long do you think a tapeworm could grow inside your body? Like how many feet do you think it could be? My initial guess was, I thought maybe like 3. Did you have any ideas, Maria? I know you could see the notes, but
I haven't scrolled down in a second.
Okay.
So
guess.
I haven't seen it. I think they can get really fucking big.
You would be correct.
I don't know, like 12 feet or something.
An adult tapeworm can reach up to 30 feet in length and can survive in the host body for years.
Ugh.
Disgusting. Disgusting. So why would anyone want to do this? Well, where the diet comes from, it actually started with women in the Victorian era who would go to any lengths to try to achieve what society at the time thought was beautiful. And what's interesting is at the time, the standard for beauty was to look like you had tuberculosis.
Shut the fuck up. So this was like Victorian era heroin chic.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But for them, it was tuberculosis. They wanted pale skin, eyes that looked dilated, red cheeks and lips, and a tiny waist. So for this, I mean, the tapeworm diet would do all of that. because it is just sucking the life out of you. So you're all gaunt and nasty and pale and like, bleh, just not good. You know, this was the same time in history when women would also wear insanely tight corsets. They said some women would also take small doses of poison in order to get this look. So tapeworms were just mixed in with all of this. And some people would do this. It was, I mean, radical even for then.
I was kind of just thinking, like, I thought we were living in an age of like really bad diet culture. But now I'm thinking like, maybe things aren't as bad as they used to be. Maybe we're a lot more accepting, which is
compared
scary.
To this. Yeah.
Like, I don't know anybody who would poison themselves in the type of poisoning that I know that you're talking about. I mean, we'll poison ourselves in other ways, mm-hmm. but like not with actual poison.
Crazy. Crazy. One more thing I found was that like sometimes people would take the action. They're called tapeworm cysts because they each grow like to get bigger, it grows another cyst, which is like a little ball thing. Just
ew.
Gross. So sometimes people would ingest that, or sometimes people would just eat contaminated food. Like, oh, this old piece of meat has a bunch of worms on it. I'll just eat it and hope that one's a tapeworm.
Oh my God.
Insane. But that doesn't happen these days. I don't think it does. Mostly it's the sketchy pill that some people get their hands on. It may or may not have a tapeworm in it. So this probably doesn't come as a surprise to anyone, but there's very limited scientific research on this diet because it's unethical, it's illegal, and it's hazardous to human health. So no one's really doing research on this. There's no controlled studies showing whether it's safe or not, but I think that's pretty obvious that it is not safe. Most of the information just comes from anecdotal reports or people who actually got a tapeworm, not trying to, but, you know, ate, got contaminated in some way and then had all these awful things happen to them. So the sad thing is, despite all of the gross things we just said, I'm sure some people would still be like, yeah, but does it work? Like, will I lose weight?
Yeah.
And my reaction to that is, we'll define what work means. So yes, if all goes quote unquote well, and the tapeworm actually attaches to your intestine and starts eating your calories, if you're in a, again, it always comes down to that calorie deficit. If you're in a calorie deficit, you'll probably lose weight, but at what cost? You know, it's not going to just like get rid of your fat, hold on to your tone and your muscle, still have like beautiful shining skin. Like, no, it's eating everything. It's eating all the nutrients, not just the calories. So that, but there have also been people who have had a tapeworm who have reported symptoms of weight gain even, because when your body is not getting the calories it needs, it's going to up your hunger response. So you're really hungry. People said that they had a really intense cravings for carbohydrates. So you eat more and more and more. The worm's only going to eat so much. So some people actually gained weight. And then there's a ton of other obvious dangers and side effects to this diet, like abdominal pain, malnutrition, diarrhea. And the one that I didn't even think of was that there's complications of this tapeworm. Like, this is a living being. It can migrate to other parts of your body. Like, you don't know that it's going to attach in your intestines. It can split off, migrate, get to your liver, get to the lungs, get to your brain. If I haven't scared you away from this yet, a lot of bad things can happen. Long story short, it is not safe. It is not legal. It may or may not even help you lose weight. And if it does, it comes with a lot of other negative side effects. So obviously, I'm hoping no one came into this being like, oh, I wonder if this is a viable diet or not.
I wonder if the tapeworm diet is right for me.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of fun to look into these like crazy things every once in a while. Any other thoughts on the tapeworm diet, Marie, before we transition into gut parasite cleanses?
No, I think you covered
it
all.
That's all that needs to be said. Don't do it. Yeah. Okay. So I'm excited to you know, that was just kind of a fun side thing. But now let's talk about something that's actually on our social media feeds that people are actually doing these days, which is the gut parasite cleanses. So Marie, I'm going to let you take this one since this was like where your brain went to immediately. Mine went to the, you know, crazy Victorian era diet, but yes, thoughts on the gut parasite cleanse.
Yes. So like we have sort of alluded to, there is this idea that I genuinely do not know where this came from, but this idea that the majority of us or a lot of us are living with parasites in our guts, and we're not really talking about tapeworms anymore. So just other parasites, usually they're not defined either. Like they never say what parasite it is or what you're trying to get rid of. They just use the word parasite. And basically this idea that you need to take a cleanse to get rid of them. A lot of these claims or people that are claiming that this is happening to you cite these very generalized list of symptoms that you can't really argue against. So we see this with a lot of stuff with people trying to make you think that you have some sort of sickness that you don't have. So fatigue and depression and all these kind of can't really pinpoint one cause of fatigue usually, right? It's like we're stressed, we've got a lot going on, most of us don't sleep enough, we're not eating properly, right? It's very easy to be like, oh, are you tired all the time? Mom of three, working two jobs and trying to support your family, you might have a gut parasite, you know?
Right.
So do we need to actually be worried about parasites in our bodies? Because parasites are a real thing. You can actually get them. I think a lot of people associate them with traveling internationally. I think a lot of people have heard, you know, if you go down to Mexico or some South American countries to not drink the water because it's not filtered in the same way that we filter it here in the United States. So yeah, I mean, there are genuine parasitic infections, but it's really not something that you're going to come across in your day-to-day life. And I just really need people to understand that if they do genuinely have a parasitic infection, you are going to know about it.
Right.
You are going to have some very extreme symptoms that pop out of nowhere. So some examples of that is going to be bloating. Now, when I say bloating, I don't mean, oh, I just ate a lot of pasta, I'm a little bloated. No, I mean extreme bloating and painful bloating. Like, I feel like my stomach is going to pop, painful bloating. Extreme diarrhea, specifically after traveling to a country that doesn't have the same sanitation standards that we have here. Extreme stomach pain, extreme nausea and vomiting. Again, that's sort of out of nowhere. An unexplained and very sudden weight loss. And if you are passing worms in your stool. So again, with this whole passing worms thing, that's where a lot of people who are doing this very dangerous cleanse thing, that's sort of a symptom that they point to and say, oh, look at your stool. Yes, you actually can have worms in your stool if you genuinely have a parasitic infection. But if you don't have any of these symptoms beforehand, and then you just take this cleanse for no reason, and then all of a sudden you're seeing what might look like worms, kind of, it's actually your gut lining. So be careful of that last one. If you have not taken a bullshit cleanse and you see worms in your stool, you might have a parasite.
You might have a parasitic infection.
If you just see an ad for a gut cleanse and you take that and it feels really extreme and it feels like your gut lining's being ripped out, and then you look into the toilet and you see a worm looking thing in the toilet, it might just be your intestinal lining. Mm-hmm. Very thankful for any listeners who have gotten to this point and I just shut it off.
I'm struggling through this one too with you. I feel it.
Yeah. And, you know, a big thing too is I want to really make sure that we touch on again is that this is a very rare situation. And if you have not traveled internationally, if you have not visited a place that was unsanitary, it's very, very rare to get these things. So before you just feel a little tired or, you know, there are other reasons to have some of these symptoms like nausea, vomiting, stuff like that. So please seek medical help before you just diagnose yourself with a parasite and go do some bullshit and put yourself in an even worse situation. Now we're going to get into the different quote unquote cleanses that people tell you to take if you are feeling just a little groggy and then they just tell you that now you have a parasite. there have been some herbal remedies that have been purported to have some anti-parasitic properties. The most common ones that we saw were wormwood, black walnut, and cloves. Now, I will say that like any plant-based food or herb or extract, there might actually be some antimicrobial, anti-parasitic, anti-fungal properties to these, meaning that there might be some sort of compound that's found in these that can potentially harm a bacteria, a parasite, or a fungus. And there's a little bit of evidence that, you know, some of these can be helpful for stuff like that. But you have to remember that this stuff is not really studied very well in human populations, and that ultimately, if you have a parasite, you are going to want to take medicine, because the medicine is going to be much more potent than something like the extract of wormwood. The second thing is dietary changes. Now, typically how we'll see these is, again, typically with somebody trying to sell you that A, you have a parasite, and B, they have the answer to cure it, and it will be some sort of dietary change. And it usually has to do with the restriction of certain foods or certain food groups. And it's typically the restriction of like sugar or gluten or dairy. They will claim that, you know, taking one of these out is going to strip your body of whatever parasite it has. I hope you guys have listened. This is episode, 78, something like that. I hope you guys know by now that there is not a thing that you can take out of your diet that is going to fix everything unless you are allergic to that food. And again, there are not parasites just living in your gut that you don't know about. So going to just kind of briefly skip on past that one. Just know that if somebody's trying to tell you that if you stop eating sugar, that you'll get rid of your gut parasites, that they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
All right. Number three, fasting. Some people claim that calorie restriction in the form of fasting is going to be what your body needs to fight off these gut parasites. We see this argument in fasting for other healthful claims, in that it gives your body the ability to like fight off cancerous cells, or sort of with this idea of like your body's able to quote unquote cleanse itself. It's this process called autophagy. But some people take that a step further and say, not only can you cleanse your own body cells with fasting, but you can also use fasting as a tool to get rid of the parasites, because you're basically not feeding the parasites anymore. As with any of these things, A, to harp on it again, you do not have a parasite just living in you that you don't know about. And B, even if you did, there's not any evidence that this is going to be an effective tool to get rid of it. And again, if you genuinely think that you have a parasite, don't just stop eating to get rid of it. Go to the doctor.
Right. And it's also important to say, don't do any of these things in order to prevent parasites, because right, the chances of you getting a parasite are so, so, so small. There's no need to make any dietary changes or fasting in order to like make your gut inhospitable for parasites. Like, that's right. Just put it out of your brain. It's probably not going to happen to you.
Yeah. And also, like you just said, these parasites aren't coming from sugar and gluten, right? You know, they're coming from places that aren't sanitary. So if you, you know, come across a parasite in contaminated water, the fact that you haven't eaten sugar in 10 years isn't going to stop it from infecting you.
They're going to eat whatever you're eating.
Yeah. And then the very last thing is this whole parasite cleanse idea. Now, there are so many products, just bullshit stuff out there. And some of them, like the ParaGard stuff, like you were talking about earlier, Emily, are sort of these cleanses that are designed to kill parasites or like deworm you, stuff like that. If you think of like HeartGard that you give your pets,
yeah,
it's like that kind of stuff, except humans aren't predisposed to getting stuff like heartworms, you know? Like, you do that for animals because animals will go outside and like eat dirt.
Right.
Most humans aren't. Isn't there like a weird condition called pica where you go eat dirt?
Yes. Clay, correctly? Dirt.
Yeah. So unless you're like the 0.0000 whatever percent of people that have that condition, for the most part, we are eating clean, sanitary food. Therefore, there's no reason to prophylactically give ourselves something like ParaGard. It's not really helpful or particularly healthy, in my opinion, to give yourself a bunch of medications to protect against something that you have such a small percentage chance of ever even coming into contact with.
Right.
It just seems really ridiculous. And then you've got the even shadier shit, which is just these companies selling cleanses, or even worse than that, even though like those are bad, are going to be people who come up with their own personal concoctions of stuff that they say that you need to take or prepare to cleanse yourself. I don't know if you remember, this was like a long time ago, but we did an episode where we tried to find like the weirdest diets.
Oh yeah.
And there was the one that I did, the jelly juice. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So for those of you who have listened to that episode, there's this woman, she created this concoction called jelly juice, and it was like fermented, I can't remember what, like fermented cabbage for like a long time. And it was just this very acidic drink. And this is the type of shit that will strip your intestinal lining. And then they will tell you, hey, look at all those worms in your toilet. You're doing it. But really what you're doing is you are very much hurting your gut. We're not going to get into all the different types of like detoxes and whatever else you can take. But just know that if somebody is promoting something to get rid of parasites in your gut, they are completely full of shit, because you do not have, you don't just like baseline have parasites living in your gut. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to this type of gut cleanse.
No, I feel like you've said it all. Listening to you makes me think what the baseline issue here with all of this and with many, many topics that we've talked about on this podcast is people causing distrust in themselves, in other people, and not trusting that their body's going to tell them when something's wrong. It's like, if everything's going well, it doesn't mean everything's good. Like, I can't just live my life and trust that that's fine. Like, there's got to be something wrong. Or distrusting basic fatigue and bloating and saying, well, it's got to be something like parasites. Like, I feel like with a lot of these things, they go to the most extreme and use these situations that people are experiencing to say, oh, I can solve that for you. It's just have some of this Paragard or some of this jelly juice like mix that I make in my house that's going to help everything. It's just, yeah, causing people to not trust their own experience. And then other people are benefiting off of that. So just makes me sad. But yeah, so with gut parasite cleanses, like, do they work?
No.
No. Like we've said many times, if you have a parasite, go to the doctor. They'll sort it out for you. These cleanses aren't necessary, and we don't even know if they work or not. So there's that. But are they safe? Probably not, no. Too. Dehydration is a possible side effect because a lot of these approaches come with diarrhea. Not great. If you're taking weird herbs, like there's a chance that there could be an interaction with medication. Some of the herbs like wormwood, if you take too much, can actually be bad for your liver. It can be toxic. And this goes without saying, but the lack of regulation. The FDA is not regulating these gut parasite cleanses. So even after everything we've talked about, if you're like, well, I'll just try it and see what happens. Like, it's not one of those, well, it's not going to hurt you. Like, it could. It might hurt you. It's not regulated. We don't know if it's safe. So that's important to keep in mind. This is a good one to bring up alternatives. So you want to eat foods with probiotics in them, those healthy bacteria that are going to be good for our gut. Those are found in fermented foods, things like yogurt, kefir, kombucha, kimchi, sauerkraut, all those things really healthy for your gut. You also want prebiotic foods, which are those fibers that feed the probiotics. So those are in things like garlic, onions, bananas, all sorts of things. Just high fiber foods in general is also going to be very good for your gut. And if you think you have any true gut issues and have found that it's not due to parasites, you can always get tested, right? You could get tested for allergies, intolerances, sensitivities. If it gets really bad and you have IBS, then there's the FODMAP diet. Like, there are answers for you. You don't have to feel like, well, if it's not a gut parasite, then what am I going to do? Like, there are answers. dietitians can help people sort this out. Your doctor can help you sort it out. So there are people out there who can help. Go to someone who's gone to school for this and not someone who's just posting on TikTok or Instagram. I think probably the easiest BS stamp we've given out in a while. There's no gray area here. Definitely a BS stamp for me. What about you, Marie?
Absolutely.
Both of them. Tapeworm and gut parasite cleanses. Not good. BS stamp for sure.
All right. So we had a pretty definitive thing, and now our BSPS is going to be one of those gray area situations.
Oh, good. So,
all right. We are talking about magnesium supplementation, and the question we got about it was sort of like, what's the deal with magnesium supplementation? So we didn't really get any specific questions. Really quickly, magnesium is an essential mineral, so it is something that we consume. And here's the thing with magnesium, that when we get to the claims about magnesium, there's a lot of people claiming magnesium can do a lot of different things. And that's because magnesium is involved in almost everything that your body does. It's responsible for how you make over 300 enzymes. So like over 300 processes in your body, you require magnesium to get the catalyst to have that process happen. It's involved in energy production. It's involved in metabolism of foods. It's involved in DNA synthesis. It's involved in protein synthesis. It's involved in nerve conduction. It's involved in bone health. It's involved with your heart health. Like every bodily system is pretty much reliant on, in some capacity, on magnesium, whether that's directly or indirectly. So it's a really important mineral. Where you can find this in food is going to be dark leafy vegetables. So like spinach and kale and chard and collard greens and stuff like that. Nuts and seeds, legumes, whole grains, and meat and fish. So that's like a pretty wide spectrum, right? You've got your leafy greens, you've got nuts and seeds, you've got whole grains and legumes, and you've got meats and fish. So not a whole lot of people not eating all of those foods. And there's a lot of foods, because magnesium is so important, that we fortify with magnesium. So a lot of breads and cereals, if you see that it's enriched, typically one of the things that we're enriching it with is magnesium. The reason that we do that is because there's an estimation that more than half of adults do not meet recommended daily intake of magnesium. So you've got such an important mineral, and more than half of us not getting enough of it. A lot of that is because, again, going back up to where magnesium is found in foods, dark leafy greens, nuts and seeds, legumes, and whole grains, we don't do a great job of eating those foods in the unprocessed form. A lot of times we're eating refined grains, which typically are going to strip away a lot of magnesium. Good amount of people not eating a lot of dark leafy greens, not eating nuts and seeds as in their original forms, not eating legumes. Just because the Western diet is so reliant on ultra-processed foods, we tend to not consume enough magnesium. So if there's an ailment out there, there's probably a claim that magnesium supplement can fix it. And again, it's because magnesium is involved either directly or indirectly in so many different body systems that it's actually like you can kind of make that claim and not be totally off. Here's what I'll say about this. Magnesium is super well studied. There is a ton of different studies on you name what ailment. Like it has almost been studied for like every single thing that could possibly go wrong in your body. Overwhelmingly, here's what we find, that there is a minimal, pretty weak evidence that magnesium supplements can help with insert your ailment here. It's probably been studied, and there's probably some pretty weak data that it might be helpful. The only one that we have really good evidence for is that it does seem to help reduce blood pressure in people who are deficient in magnesium. So if you have high blood pressure and you're deficient in magnesium, it does seem that a magnesium supplement will be helpful in reducing your blood pressure. And overwhelmingly, with all the other different conditions that you could have, it seems like the supplementation, and this should not be super surprising, but the supplementation only seemed to be effective if you were deficient in magnesium. And for people that weren't, it didn't really seem to have an effect. Yeah, you know, in terms of like, should you be supplementing magnesium? I think that answer lies in, first start off with, am I eating a lot of the foods that contain magnesium? So am I getting my dark leafy greens? Am I eating nuts and seeds? Am I eating legumes? And am I eating whole grains that haven't been refined? And am I eating high quality meats and fish? If you feel like the answer is no, we would recommend try and eat some more of those. But if that's not feasible, or you know that that's just not going to happen for you, then maybe going a magnesium supplement could be the route for you. Another thing I do want to add, since we have a sports nutrition background, is that a lot of athletes, it is the number one mineral to be deficient in. Because athletes have higher metabolic output, it's easier to go deficient in magnesium than for somebody who is not working out as much as an athlete. So it is kind of one of those supplements that I'm like, hey, probably won't hurt, might help. So I do actually recommend that a lot of people take magnesium or make a really conscientious effort to eat more magnesium-containing foods. And then the last thing that I want to say is that, again, if you are looking at a magnesium supplement, it seems that magnesium citrate has the highest bioavailability, and magnesium lactate is a good second choice. And there's a lot of different magnesium supplements that are sold, but those two are going to be your best two options for you. There is a little bit of concern with over-consuming magnesium. It competes for receptors, so if you consume too much magnesium, you're actually not going to be able to absorb some other essential minerals. So don't exceed 350 milligrams if you are doing a supplement. But yeah, you know, in terms of like, should you, shouldn't you? Like I said earlier, I think we would definitely recommend that you just try and incorporate more magnesium foods. And if anybody was wondering, oh, where's Emily? We haven't heard from her in a little bit.
My power went out.
Yeah.
But
she's back. Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Yes. I heard most of what you said about magnesium. The one thing I'll add, and you might have touched on this, but I actually took it for a while because I was getting really bad migraines. And they said, the doctor said, like, take magnesium. And I was taking, I think, magnesium citrate. And it caused really bad diarrhea for like the entire time I took it. So I think it's, I don't remember how much I was taking. I think like I'm looking in the notes here, like magnesium lactate might have a lower risk for the GI side effects. Maybe I should have tried that. But yeah, it's definitely one where you can take too much. So don't overdo it.
Yeah, well, thank God you took it, though, because if you had a pesky parasite, it's gone now.
It's gone, yes. Flushed that right out of there.
Yeah.
Way to tie that together. I love it.
Oh, thanks so much.
Good. Well, thank you all for being our loyal listeners. We've heard from a lot of you lately, so thank you for all of your input. If you have questions, comments, suggestions on topics, you know how to reach us. But until next time, I'm Emily.
And I'm Marie.
And don't let the BS get the best of you.